Thank you, Maria is a postdoc that I work with, and she was in sunny San Diego and asked if she could stay an extra day if I would do the presentation. So if I was in sunny San Diego, I would expect the same kind of treatment. Let me start by saying, first of all, this is not an endorsement of any kind of position on climate change whatsoever, except that what we wanted to do was to take a look at what would be the sort of impacts that one might expect if you followed the climate change predictions that have floated around in the literature relative to the cotton industry, both in the U.S. and globally. And so one of the things that you have to remember that we deal with that's a very complicating factor when you're trying to model any of this sort of stuff is there's a fairly nonlinear relationship between climate or temperature effects and the impacts that it has on yield. And those are going to be fairly localized anyway because not everybody is operating under the same set of cultivars, the same set of environmental conditions, technology, cultivation, all those sorts of things. So it's very difficult to project yield. Although we do have some ideas about what the expected impacts of climate change might be on yields when we look at some of the existing literature. And so these are projections that are largely based on yield expectations in the U.S., so I'll be upfront about that here, that what we're doing is basically assuming that technology or the existing cultivars globally would respond similarly to these temperature changes. It's kind of a difficult assumption to defend, but that's what you kind of have to do at this point since we don't have good data otherwise. And so what we did is look at that relationship between temperature and yield growth or yield decline, as the case may be. And then many of you know we operate a global fiber model at Texas Tech where we can look at the changes in yields, which then affect the relative supply and then work that through in terms of prices, international trade, those sorts of things in our global fiber model. To kind of start out and just summarize so we don't waste a lot of time with available data or all the computations that one might look at, this is a summary of the yield projections that exist in terms of if you assumed a uniform climate change. Now, when I say uniform, just so everybody knows, what we're talking about is a 1 degree C increase is a 1 degree C increase globally. There's no localized changes between one location and the other. We know that's not true either because some locations of the world would, even if you had sort of an average change of 1 degree Celsius, some areas are actually getting cooler where some areas are getting much warmer. But this is a simulation to give us an idea. So we went with the uniform changes. So you can see there, if you work your way down from sort of a 1 degree Celsius increase to a 5 degree Celsius increase, there is a pretty substantial potential change in yield. Now, again, assuming that technology doesn't change or cultivars change in order to respond to that increase in temperature, this is what you might expect. Now, if you look at most of the models that look out into the future, you know, if you were at the production conference and you listened to the meteorological guy come from talking about the conditions that might exist, you know, most of us can't predict the weather beyond about 7 days. And so we're talking about 30-year planning horizons. It's pretty hard to do. But most of the projection models out there right now look at plus 1 or plus 2 degrees Celsius, and you can see that in that kind of range, we're not talking about substantial potential yield declines in cotton production. Cotton's a pretty hardy plant when it comes to heat tolerance, so it survives it pretty well. But if you get in that higher temperature variation, plus 3, plus 4, you start talking about pretty substantial yield increases, and if this is occurring on a global basis, it could have substantial impacts. I'm not going to talk a lot about this. This is a diagram of our model, and you know I don't know why people throw these up there. basically to impress you with how complicated the model is, I guess. But basically, what this diagram shows is all the interconnectedness that goes between the different sectors of cotton, mill use, global textile demand, polyester price, everything else feeds through this model. And then what we're ultimately looking at are the variables of production, consumption, and trade, along with what's represented there in the red, the A index, the resulting world price of cotton. Specifically, when we look at the cotton supply response, this is a representation of the U.S. You have all of the basic variable inputs that go in. You have the competing crop profitability that goes in there. And then you have basically an idea of national cost of production. That's fed out into the regions. So if you're talking about the Delta, Southeast, what we could actually model and look at the various regions in the country supply response here. And we have the same thing that exists for China and other parts of the world as well in the model that look a lot like that. All right, so we ran two basic simulations. One of them is just looking at the impacts in this model framework if it was the only impacts were being felt on the U.S. So the temperature effects, the yield effects, are fed through our U.S. model and then into the global model. It's not a realistic scenario, really. It's just an idea to give you the contrast of what happens in a localized condition, say in the U.S., versus if this is happening on a much broader space globally. Again, the rest of the world's yield responses are assumed to mimic that of the U.S., and then we ran this scenario in each temperature increment, so we adjusted the yields by the percentages you saw in the previous table, ran the simulations, looked at the resulting trade and price scenarios. Now, in this one, this diagram shows you the relative effects at the different temperature levels over a 20-year baseline. And it's an index, so one is equal to the same as what the baseline is. The dark blue represents the scenario one, scenario two, where it was the U.S. and the rest of the world having a yield response. The light blue, of course, is the lesser effect because it's just the U.S. response. So if you look at world cotton production, in the most extreme case of plus 5 degrees Celsius increase in global temperatures, you're really only talking about a 20% reduction in global cotton production. Again, that assumes that technology is not changing. So we're not even looking at the possibility that technology may adjust over time to compensate for those increases in temperatures. So we're not talking about a real substantial reduction in global cotton production. And given the number of bales we have in warehouses today, that might not be a bad thing. But even up, if you notice, the plus 1, plus 2, plus 3 degrees C, which is where most models, as a point estimate, say you were headed, whether you believe that or not, we're not, at most talking about a 9% decline in global cotton production, again, holding technology constant. When you look at the A index, though, it does have an impact. Okay, so, basically if those economists in the room, we're talking about a price flexibility. So if you take the elasticity, invert it, and then you look at the change in the supply, if you get a 20% drop in available supply, you can get a pretty substantial increase in price. And so, this A index was run off of the previous year's estimates. Obviously, we're not at a dollar anymore, but this is baseline anyway. So you're talking about if it's just the U.S., it's a little bit higher price, but it's not a lot higher price. But if you talk about globally, if you get out in the temperature extremes, you could see pretty substantial rises in global cotton prices. Again, holding technology constant. Okay, so that's the key there. Now, interestingly, this was a question that we asked, and we said, okay, what if we went through this scenario? Who's the relative gainers and losers in the global situation when it comes to changes in production? So basically, who's going to gain and lose market share as a result of potential changes climatically? And so basically, we ran this scenario. We looked at the relative productions in the production quantities in different countries and calculated that as a percentage of the market share globally under the different temperature scenarios. And you can see that the U.S., Brazil, Australia are almost always the net beneficiaries of any sort of rise in global temperatures in terms of their share of the global cotton market, with the U.S. and Australia, you know, somewhere between 13 and 19% rise in, increase in their market share. You see the others drop off, China being the biggest loser in that context. Now, again, that assumes technology is constant. We know that technology is not going to be the same around the world. So even if we allow technology to advance, I would expect to see, if you were running a realistic simulation with technology changes, that these countries, U.S., Brazil, Australia, would probably benefit even more at the lower levels, because those are the countries most likely to adopt the technology to absorb the temperature variation faster than, say, African countries, Pakistan, India, places like that. So that's a definite way of thinking about the problem. And the interesting thing, we didn't present the numbers here directly, but the interesting thing, because we're holding technology constant, we can look at the economic losses associated with these changes in, or losses in, production as a lower bound estimate on the value of the technology to improve the yield potential under those scenarios. And if you talk about +3 and +4 and +5°C increases, you're talking about $300 to $400 million a year of lost revenue associated with the lost yield. I'm sorry, $300 to $400 billion a year of lost revenue associated with that. That gives you an idea of what the value of technology of getting out ahead of climate change may be. But overall, a large increase in temperatures is where you're going to see the biggest impact. Small increases in temperatures, we're really not expecting to see a huge impact there. So, you know, the 5°C increase across all cotton-producing countries would likely shave off as much as 20% from the current baseline of production. Under the more modest or more realistic, probably, temperature increases, we don't get near the kind of production changes. Again, just to summarize here, not to reiterate, when we look at the sort of the caveats of the problems of modeling this kind of stuff, because it's very difficult to model it, we're applying uniform climate change. That's not likely to be truthful. And we're looking at a much shorter time period here. You know, the climate evolves over a much longer time period, and so, you know, prices and other kinds of resource constraints are likely to kick in over a 20 or 30 year planning horizon, as opposed to you know, a 10 to 20 year planning horizon. So modeling over short periods is probably problematic. Of course, you know, we don't know much about the environment, and as Joe Outlaw said this morning, we probably don't know much about policy or the economy either. And so the realism of these kinds of things are really more guideposts to give us an indication of where we could invest in the future that might have the biggest bang for the buck. And certainly drought and heat tolerance appear to be a big issue when you go forward in terms of cotton value. Now, I'll stop there, and if we have a question or anything like that at this point, or we can save it till the end.
No, we have 2 minutes.
Okay. I answered them all. Yep.
Look at the trade patterns, because what you're getting, I see other models in trade models, these climate change shocks, and get pretty much the same result. Global demand is very elastic, and so you get huge changes in price. It's exactly what you're getting. Surprisingly little change in production, but trade flows change a lot.
Yeah, and that's reflected in that sort of that market share element, is that you know, what you would expect to see. It's not that, you know, when you see like the 12% increase in the U.S., it's not that the U.S. is producing 12% more cotton. It's that they're exporting 12% more of the world trade because of what's happening. So their relative share gets bigger, but you're right. What happens is, because it's relatively inelastic, you get these huge price shifts, but very little production change. And so, you know, and I think, supply is relatively inelastic as well. But if you start introducing technology change, that certainly would create more elasticity in that supply function, which may actually result in less overall impact. That's what the caveat is. The technology, holding technology constant is a pretty big assumption you're making here.
All right. Question. Do you also apply in this simulation a change to yields in corn and the other competing commodities?
We did the best we could in terms of the available literature. The competing profitability was modeled basically on the same premise of a uniform climate change. So it is included in there. There's some adjustment in corn prices or some adjustment in, other. We didn't have them all, so some of them we just sort of made a linear assumption, like sugarcane, for example. So that's included in there, but it really needs to be modeled better because it's not modeled very well. All right.
Thank you very much, sir.